All right, someone's fired. Okay, can you get me one of the other mics? Because this isn't working. It's on, so thank you. All right, we're going to be in Numbers chapter number 6. It's probably been a while since we've had two messages from the book of Numbers in the exact same day, okay? It's not like the Gospel of John or something, but I want to show us something from here if we can. I think that'll help us this morning. Nobody likes laws, rules, or regulations. Nobody does. Do we have a microphone? Can someone, here, let's just. We're going to go old school today, okay? By the way, Brother Ross keeps wanting me to get one of those ones that you put over your ear and go like this. It just said, I was at a conference. I spoke at a conference. They made me wear one. I'm like, I just didn't like it. I don't know. You know, I felt like singing. And I know that that would be a problem. So actually, I was telling my wife the other day, we heard of several messages recently. And Brother Martin was one of them. And the pastor during the message starts singing. How many of you heard that? And I'm like, I'm never going to do that, okay? You don't want me to do that. But as I was saying before the microphone caused issues, nobody likes laws, rules, or regulations. They make us nervous. I can prove it to you. So you're driving down the road, and you're keeping all the laws. You're doing everything you're supposed to, and you see a police officer in the lane next to you. How does that make you feel? Come on, are you like me? Like, did I do something wrong? Okay, and then I hate when they just continue to go the same path you're going on. Because then you do have to obey the rules and regulations, right? It's like, man, I don't want to do anything dumb here. We get nervous about it. But what is the purpose of these laws? Well, they're wrapped up in safety. Enforcing laws that, if they're not kept, could cause harm or damage. By the way, someone might want to explain that to our politicians. Okay, if there's no consequences for what people are doing, people are going to do ridiculous things. It's very important. Remember during all the riots and all the nonsense, the defund the police, right? Remember, I saw that video on there, and these kids were having this demonstration of defund the police, and one of them heard a gunshot. I saw the video. He screamed out, "Someone call 911. Well, who are you going to call? You didn't want the police there in the first place. They're there to enforce the laws because the laws are important. And I'm going to dovetail back to that in a minute. Of course, we looked at the book of Numbers this morning, but it's part of the first five books of the Bible, which are called the what? The law books. And they contain the laws. But there are several reasons for the book of Numbers. Of course, first of all, there's the numbering of the people or the census that God took of the different tribes and the men that were ready for battle and so forth. Also, it details some of the events and travels as they were going through the wilderness. And then also it details some of their failures in the wilderness. And we saw one of those this morning. But as you get farther into the law books, it's also starting to prepare them, once they got through the rebellion and the 40 years, it's starting to prepare them for when they would get that new generation and move into the promised land. If you would want to give a theme to the book of Numbers, I think it would be obedience. And God talks a lot about that. It talks about how a lack of obedience causes problems, and you can see that in the Israelites. And then also their need of the power of God, which would only come through obedience. Thank you. Thanks, Brother Grandy. But as with the other law books, scattered throughout, there are specific commands and laws that they were to follow. And you can't miss that. You know, we always have you start your reading the beginning of the year. You know, read through your Bibles. And if you get through the law books, you're doing pretty good. Because it's not like the Gospels, but there's a lot of important truths in the law books. And if you read them and you think through what you're reading, you're going to see the importance of obedience. God says it over and over and over again. There were specific commands that they were supposed to follow. Now, as we get to the end of this chapter here, a book that's dealing with all these different things, you read these verses that we read tonight. Let's look at verse 24 again. He says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now, as you're reading through the book of Numbers, as particularly this chapter, you get to those verses, it's kind of like, these are out of place. Where did that come from? It's not kind of in the context of all the other things that are going on. But they're there for a reason. These verses are expressing God's commitment to his people and his desire to bring them security and prosperity and victory in their life. In the midst of all those commands, there are these verses. And by the way, that's God's desire for us today as well. God wants the best for us. It would be easy to wonder, why does God put all of the laws, you can call them whatever you want, laws, rules, regulations, they're really commands, but you know what I'm saying. Why would he put all of those in the scripture? Well, here's the answer, and it's very simple. So that the verses we just read, verse 24 to 27, can become a reality. That's why all the commands are there. That's why all these laws are there. That's why all these regulations are there. God wants what he mentions here at the end of chapter 6 to become a reality in our life. All the good that God wants is tied to the laws and commandments that he gave them. Now, why would that be any different for us? Was it just for the Israelites that these are the things that they needed to do if God was going to be able to bless them? And by the way, God also said, not just that he would bless them, God said, if you don't do these things, you're going to have a lot of bad consequences. But that's God's desire for us. But we have to understand that all of God's promises are tied to our obedience to what he's telling us to do. And by the way, let me just say this. As time goes on and we get into the days in which we live and we get into the sloppy Christianity, which is all over our country, that is so much harder for people to see. We have turned Christianity and we have turned church into a show. It's a place where you come so you can be entertained. It's a place where you can come so that you can feel good. By the way, sometimes to feel good, you need to feel bad, right? Well, Pastor, I just want to be entertained. I don't know what to, I can't help you. I'm not singing, okay? Well, Pastor, I just want to have a good time. And I want you to have a good time here. And we can have a good time in the Lord. But we need to understand that God's commands and his principles are vitally important. What are we doing if we're not committed to this book right here? What are we doing? Let's not have church. We might as well just go home. And that's what's going on in our society. It's like Spurgeon said, the majority of our churches are entertaining the goats instead of feeding the flock. And that's the times in which we live. But if we were to do that here, we would be doing you a disservice and we would be doing your family a disservice. Because as we look at the Bible, everything God wants to do for us is tied and connected to his word and our obedience. We say, man, God really wants to take care of us and do great things for us, but yet he gives us all these commands. Listen, the two things are not in conflict with one another. You do understand loving God and living a certain way go together. Love and living always go together. Look, that's how it is in life, right? If you're married and you have a spouse, there are certain things that you do in your life. You build your schedule, your priorities, and all that thing around your marriage. Why? Because you love one another. You do the same thing with your family. Certain things I'm going to do. There's certain things I'm going to tie myself to because I love my family. Why is it any difference if we love our Lord? Why wouldn't we want to line our lives up to a certain way of living because of the fact we love our God? Loving and living go together. By the way, blessing and behavior go together. God wants to bless us, but he can only bless us, and we'll see that in a minute, as our behavior is in line with what he wants. God's desire and the duty we are to perform because of what God wants for us are to be joined together. Now, we have a hard time understanding that because our society has so trained us to think that anything that says you have to do this or you can't do that restricts us. But the fact of the matter is David found out, and he could tell you from both sides of the fence, liberty comes when you do what God said. Let me read this verse. You can flip over there if you want, but I'm not going to save time. Psalm chapter 119, verse 44 and 45. Here's what David said. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Oh, pastor, that's restrictive. Verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. See, we think outside the gate of God's commands, outside the wall of God's commands, is where liberty is found. No, that's where bondage is found. Liberty is found when we live within the confines of God's word. Satan has got us so messed up. I mentioned Eve this morning. That's exactly what he got Eve to believe. Eve, God is holding out on you because he knows that the day you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be able to decide for yourself what's right and wrong. The restrictions are gone. No, that's when the restrictions came. That's when the misery came. And so God wants us, and God wants to take care of us and bless us and take as we keep his word. And so why the rules and regulations? So that God can do all these things he mentioned in chapter 6 in our lives. What are they? Let's briefly go through them. God gave us his commands, laws, rules, and regulations so that we can have his blessings. Verse 24, the Lord bless thee. We throw that word around a lot, right? You know, God bless you, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. God bless America. We'll get to that in a minute. Hashtag blessed, right? Or we always say this, and you know, hey, come do this, you'll be blessed by whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with that, but do we understand what God's blessings are? By the way, I want God's blessings. I want it. If God's offering something that's good, give me some. In fact, give me double. I want it for myself. I want it for my family. I want it on everything this church is trying to do for the Lord. And I want it in every single person, for every single person who comes to this church. Yes, we want God's blessings. By the way, the pagan culture in which they live, their gods did not bless them. In fact, their gods made no demands on their lives. As long as they went and performed their religious duty, there was no difference in the way they lived. They went, they performed their duty, they gave their whatever they did, and then they moved on with their life. God was different. God loved his people, and God wanted to have a relationship with his people. He wasn't some distant deity. Here's the incredible thing. God wants to bless us. Now, how does he bless us? The word blessing means a favor or gift bestowed upon us, one that brings us joy. So blessing is a catchword used to describe any goodness God provides or any demonstration of God's goodness or provision in our life. Those are God's blessings, and it always results in joy. But here's the problem. We throw the word around like we can be blessed regardless of the way we live our lives. Brethren, that's not true. We want to go around and do our own thing and we ignore God 6 days a week, and maybe we show up to church and we walk out the door. We have no desire to learn his word. We have no desire to obey his word, but I want to be blessed. It doesn't work that way. God's blessings are tied to our obedience. Isn't that what he told the Israelites? He said, listen, when you go into this promised land, I got all, nothing but good things for you. And if you obey me, these good things will come to pass. When a king took over, he told the kings, listen, if you follow me and you do what I say, you will have a reign that'll be well, that will go well. The nation will have peace and tranquility. All of these things. If someone comes at you, war, you'll win that war. It was all contingent on their obedience to God. We must understand that. God wants to bless us more than we can ever understand. But that's something we need to learn. What, look, when Joshua was taken over, he's like, you're going into battle. So he's giving them a battle strategy. Here was his battle strategy. Make sure you get into God's word. Make sure you meditate on my word. And make sure you obey my word. And you'll win all the battles. Now, I would have thought, can I get a fight strategy here? Right? Can you give me some weapons? He's like, you don't need any weapons. The weapon for my blessing is obedience to my word. The greatest hindrance to God's blessing in our lives is our disobedience to his word. I heard a statement many years ago. I've never got away from it. The quickest way to the joy and the life that you want in a spiritual sense is obedience. Straightforward. That's it. There's no shortcuts. There's no special formula. It's finding what God says. God wants to bless us, and we stop that blessing. Now, before we go on, we got to understand. Like, we sing the song, right? God bless, and I'm not singing. God bless America. Right? No, you don't want me to sing it. Can he? We pray for God to bless America. But can he? I don't pray for God to bless America. You know what I pray? I pray for America to become blessable. And I'm going to drop this. I think you can drop a lot of the blame at the feet of the Christians in this country. If everybody in this country who claimed to be a Christian got up tomorrow morning and started living, acting, you want a tough one? And voting like a Christian, this country would change overnight. Maybe God could bless us. But blessing is tied to obedience. It's not some obscure thing God throws around. You want a verse for that one? For righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But let's just boil it down to our life tonight. Do we want God's blessings, but we'll live in open rebellion? Do we want God's blessings while we are living in known sin that we have no desire to get right with God? We're not faithful to him. Secondly, God gives us protection. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. What does the word keep mean? Keep means to have charge of something or someone, to guard it and to protect it. Right? You have a security system in your house. Okay? Why? You're trying to get protection there. You want to know when some bad perpetrator or something's trying to enter, and the alarm goes off or whatever, and then you get your own source of protection, Second Amendment, and you take care of the situation. But you're trying to be protected. All the doors and all the windows, they're not getting through without, you know, doot, 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 doot. That's a sign. Go grab your Second Amendment or let the dog loose or whatever you're going to do. Okay, or get a butter knife and I don't know how you're going to do it. But we want protection. Do you know God's given us protection in this world? It's his word. He wants us to fall. Why? Pastor, we have enemies? We actually do have enemies. They're trying to do us spiritual harm. You know that Satan's our enemy. We know that. He wants to keep us from being spiritually effective. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Being sober doesn't mean don't drink, although the Bible tells us not to drink. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh around seeking whom he may devour. We have enemy. But how do we know what our enemy's trying to do? 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You say, how are we not ignorant of what Satan's trying to do? We have a Bible. Right? I've mentioned before, when I used to coach our teams, if in the day when I coached, we had a lot more teams around here, if one of the teams we were going to play had a game, I'd get a couple of the guys and I'd go watch their game. I wanted to know what they were going to do so that when I would play them next time, we would have a game plan. I want to know their strategy. I want to know what they're trying to accomplish. Well, we know, look, Satan is against everything that God is for. And we know what's going on if we're in the Bible. We have the world as our enemy. And I'm not talking about people. We're not fighting flesh and blood. It's the principles, the philosophies, and all the garbage that the world believes and tries to push on us. And the Bible is opposed to that. But you know, one of the reasons our churches are a mess is because we like the world. And we want to enjoy the world. Well, what does the Bible say about that? James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Right next to that in your Bible, you could write, ouch. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity. Enmity means hostility towards. Is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, I didn't write that. God did. Whenever we're buying into what the world is peddling, we are actually, in a sense, taking a hostile position towards God. And so that's why the Bible clues us into all of these things. That's why John tells us, love not the world, and we know that. And then the flesh is our enemy. By the way, everything sinful in us wants to push us towards that which Satan and the world is telling us. So what do we need? You know what we need? We need protection. By the way, protection's everywhere and we never complain, right? Parents child-proof their house, you know, so Junior doesn't stick his hand where it shouldn't be. We put up protections. We put training wheels on kids' bikes. By the way, they shouldn't be on the kid's bike when he's 12, all right? I don't want my little mijo to skin his knees. Man, he needs to skin his forehead, all right? Quit babying the poor kid. But we put when you go outside, you put sunscreen on. Oh, the SUV rays are going to, like, kill me. And I understand that. But yet when God puts protections in the scripture, oh, it's restrictive. No, God's trying to keep us from that which is wrong. And the word of God is that which puts those boundaries up. It's very important. The second someone talks about obedience and spiritual protection, oh, we start to squeal and complain, that's legalism. No, it's common sense. It's scriptural sense. It's protection so that we can live our spiritual lives without experiencing disaster. But it comes to the word of God. If we saw the word of God as protection, we'd see it in a lot much better light. That's what Jesus, how did Jesus defeat his spiritual enemies? It is written. No debates with Satan. Like, well, let me just tell you where you're wrong. No, it's written. By the way, quit. When someone is pushing you wrong direction, don't debate with them. Okay? You're at work and they're trying to push you to do something. Don't jump on the table and say, listen to me. You heathen, pagan, godless person. Here's what the Bible says. No, you're acting like a weirdo. Just know what the Bible says, and I ain't doing it. We're not discussing it. Okay? Here's one. Well, I know this person, and I hate this phrase. And they're a Christian, and they, ... If you can show me in the Bible where the standard of right and wrong is what another person who claims to be a Christian is, show it to me. Okay, why don't we just follow the word? God's trying to protect us from spiritual harm. Thirdly, another reason God gives us all of his commands and everything like that is for testimony. Look at verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. That means to light upon, to be illuminated. What does that do for us? Well, light illuminates the path and it dispels the darkness and it shows us what the right thing is and it helps us to live in the light. And we do understand that Jesus said we are the light of the world. We understand all of that. I don't know about you, but if you read Ephesians, it is true. When we were unsaved, we were in darkness. Read Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in our sins. We were children of disobedience. We walked our lives in darkness. And then it says when we got saved, it says, you hath he quickened. He brought us back to life. And if we follow his word, he shines upon us and we can take that light and we can be a light to this world. By the way, you know what this world needs? It doesn't need Christians who are acting like those in the darkness. It needs somebody to be different and shine the light of Jesus Christ on them. They've seen enough of the bad testimonies. They don't need any more of that. They need us to not be, and by the way, you're never going to be perfect, but there ought to be something that says, I don't know about that person, but they're trying to live what they say they believe. We need to be a light to this world. That's called being a testimony. Jesus said, ye are the light of this world. You don't hide it. Well, Pastor, I'm just one of those. I don't know what to say, and I'm just going to kind of hide in the background. He didn't give us that option. Here. If you've worked somewhere any amount of time, or you're around the same group of people, regardless of what it is, any amount of time, and they don't know you're a Christian, can I just tell you something? That's not a good thing. And I'm not talking about some pharisaical thing. They ought to just know, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? It's not just going out here, although we need to, and passing out all these invitations and constantly inviting people to church. And thank you, you do it and it works. And we have visitors here every week because of it. Keep it up. But what about those closest to you? Sometimes, listen to this, we're bolder with people we don't even know than we are with people we have regular contact with. And you know who you probably would have a better chance with? People you have regular contact with. Well, let me ask you something. If you look at your life, is it a light? We are to be shining. By the way, I heard this quote, and it's nonsense. Preach the gospel at all times. That's not the nonsense. Use words if necessary. Now that is cute. But it's wrong. No one is, the two go together. Do you understand that? We liked all these statements that everything's just, they go together. We're supposed to give the gospel and our life ought to match up with it. Have you ever had anybody come to you and say, you know, I've noticed you live a certain way, you're a Christian. How do I get saved? That may be rare. It don't happen. They may ask, hey, what's different about you? But we're supposed to have the two together. We ought to live a certain way. God illuminates us, and he does so through his word. And he wants us to be a light to this world. Next, you know what else God wants to do through his commandments? He wants us to have grace. It says in verse 25, and be gracious unto thee. We know what grace is. It's God showing his favor, undeserved, by the way. We won't spend a lot of time on this. We understand this, and we talk about it a lot. But salvation isn't God's only act of grace in our life. I think him giving us the scripture is God's grace in our life. He didn't just save us and say, you know, you're saved, and one day you're going to go to heaven, and everything will work out, and eternity's going to be great, and just hang on there and do the best you can until you get there. He's like, you know what? I want to be a part of your life. I want what's best for you. So I'm going to give you my word to help you with that. You know, that's God's grace. He could have left us hanging. And to be honest with you, we would have deserved it. Right? We talked this morning about the Israelites. Would to God we would have died in the wilderness. And God goes, okay. By the way, don't ever pray this. God, just give me what I deserve. I'm like, no, don't give me that. I want what I don't deserve. And God has given me his word to help get me through this life. You're going through a tough time, get to his word. You'll get encouragement. You're at a point in your life where it's like, I don't know which direction to go or if I'm going the right direction, stay in his word. You'll get there. And he's been very gracious to us. And he wanted to give his grace to his people. We only get that in the word of God. Next, God wants us to have his presence. Look at verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Countenance means a person's presence. Now I understand. God has promised, and it's in Hebrew, let your conversation without covetousness and so forth and so on. And he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Aren't you glad for that? But let me just tell you this. Just because God says he'll never leave me or protect me doesn't mean that there can't be a distance between us and God. Now, where does that distance come from? It doesn't come from God. It comes from us. There's a difference between closeness and proximity and closeness personally. Proximity means God's with you all the time. But are you really close to him? That's what God desires. And that's what's mind-boggling. That God wants to have a relationship with us. When we get up and read our Bibles, it's like God's speaking directly to me. He is. Isn't that a great thing? It's like when I'm struggling or something and I go to God in prayer, I feel like he's there with me. Isn't that what you want? What keeps us from that? You know what keeps us from that? Disobedience. Well, how do I know when I'm being disobedient? It's his word. Look, I've done enough marriage counseling to know just because two people live under the same roof doesn't mean they're close. Right? You know, you've heard these stories like a couple, one looks at, I don't even know you anymore. I look at my wife sometimes and say, did I ever really know you in the first place? You know what that means? Yes, you're married. Yes, you're in the same spot. But are you working on maintaining a close relationship? Are you working on being, the same is true with God. God wants us to stay close. And by the way, there's a lot of good things. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Let me ask you this evening. I know, morning, the time change has got me off too, right? Sun's still out. But do you have joy in your life? Now, I'm not saying is everything wonderful. I know we go through problems. You know, you had joy until you got that bill in the mail, right? By the way, everything is going up. Like, man, car insurance is like, it'd be better to ride a bike. But, you know, do you have that joy in your heart? You say, Pastor, I feel like I've lost my joy. Could it be that you lost your joy because you're not in his presence the way he wants? See, you have to see everything in that context. Well, I just don't feel like I have that joy. That's God's way of saying, hey, let's get this back together. Let's work on this. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, life just seems to be a detriment, and it's just a downer, and it just like seems like a struggle, and life is a struggle. But when you're with God, there's always that pleasure. Why? It's not coming from this world. It's coming from him. How close are you to God? God wants to be close to you. I must hurry. God wants to give us peace. He says, verse 26, and give them peace. Peace means soundness, tranquility, contentment. There's just so much drama in this world. And by the way, our problem is we are looking to the wrong thing to get these. We think if we had all the money in the world, we'd never have a problem and we would be at peace. That's not how it works. You name it. Well, you know, I'm looking for peace in this relationship or this hobby or this activity or this or that. It's not where it's found. It's found in obedience to God and his word. Fact is, the world is good at destroying peace. It really is. You don't find peace in doing your own thing. That's where drama comes from. You find peace when you follow God's path. God's not going to lead you down this drama-filled, chaotic kind of life. And then lastly, and this may be the best one, relationship. Look at verse 27. And they shall put, what does that say there? My name upon the children of Israel. By the way, as Christians, don't we carry Christ's name? isn't that the name they gave us because we were just like Christ? At least we were trying to be back at those times. They called them Christians. We carry his name. By the way, Israelites were God's special people. He made that very clear. And you know what? Because we're connected to Christ, because we're saved, we're his people too. And we carry his name. What a wonderful blessing that is. You know, one of the great blessings of marriage, if you're a guy, is that, well, you actually found a girl in the first place, but you found one that would take your name. I don't want to make anybody mad, but without a hyphen. Pastor, where's that in the Bible? God created them male and female, and he called their name, Adam. Years ago, I said that in a Sunday school class. I shouldn't say this, but I will. I said that in Sunday school. And God called their name Adam. That's why we take their name. The next day, I got an email from a lady in my class. Pastor, where's that verse? And she signed her name with a hyphen. So I just very kindly, I said, oh, hey, here's the verse. And I sent her the verse. And she just sent back, oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, okay, thanks. Okay. But that someone would take their name. Isn't it a blessing that we can take God's name? That we're Christians. We're called after him. And by the way, one thing that makes us different as Christians, because we bear his name, and so we live that life. Now let me just say this and I'm done. Didn't go long tonight. You know, what do they say? Close your Bible. I'm not done, but you have hope. Okay, I'm not like that, and you know that. But maybe tonight. But here's the deal. We look sometimes at all the things God says, do this, don't do that. And we get hung up on it. But everything God wants to give us, everything God wants to do in our life is tied up to those things. And it's not any different than how we live our lives. So let me ask you today, do you have his blessings in your life? Are you experiencing his protection? Are you a great testimony of who he is? Excuse me. Are you experiencing his grace? Is his presence close to you? Do you have peace? Maybe if we don't, you can always tie it back. Look, always look for the root problem. What's the root problem? I'm not following his word. Because God wants to bless you more than you ever want to be blessed. God wants to protect you more than you ever, and you can just go down the line. But it's all tied to his word. It's there for a reason. And the Israelites that he was talking to had that option. And you know what they found out? Whenever they had a king and the kingdom was going the right direction, they saw all of these things. They'd have this enemy come. They were outmanned. They were outnumbered. And God goes, I got this. Don't worry about it. You're going to win this one. There were other times when they didn't do that. And what happened? Things went horrible for them. So do we want these things from God? Why don't we seek to follow his commands and his laws? Let's stand together this evening, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. There's a reason God gave us the word of God. And there's a reason we ought to follow it. Now, just very simply this evening, here's the question. How's it going? No one is ever going to be perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. But the amount of blessings and all these other things that we experience in our life will be tied. The measuring stick is our obedience level. And by the way, say, Pastor, I'm not perfect. That's where God's grace comes in. But what is the direction of your life? Is the direction of your life, you know what? I may not be perfect, but I am striving to follow God and follow his word to the best of my... I may come short every now and then, but that's what I want in my life. You're on the right path. But maybe you've got off in a little few areas here or there, and things are starting to maybe get a little sideways. By the way, whenever you lose something, you know where you find the answer? You go back to where you left it. God gave us his laws, his commandments, because he loves us and because he wants to give to us. Don't miss out. Piano's going to play tonight. If God spoke to you about any of these areas, why don't you come?